welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Again, just want to say again a happy Mother's Day to all you moms who are with us here this morning, and we just trust that you've been refreshed in the presence of the Lord and that you're just going to continue to be encouraged this morning as we delve into the Word. Praise God. Are we pulling it up? All right. Well, we're going to actually start this morning in a passage of Scripture that a lot of times we look at around Christmas time. And I'm going to go ahead. Are we still pulling up right now? Are we up, up? All right, cool. Good, thank you. Let me double-check my deal. All right. In Luke chapter 1, verse 26, it says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.'" This is quite a passage of Scripture. You know, when you look at this experience, what Mary had, obviously it was a one-of-a-kind experience to have something like this happen. And I can't help but just, you know, be inspired as I read not only this account, but when you look at Mary's reaction to this. There is the angel said in verse 28, he said, "Having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.'" This is what the angel told Mary. Now, I know when it comes to a lot of different Bible topics and things, we can get in ditches and extremes. You know, we could talk about whether it's finances or deliverance or different things like that. People can kind of go into different extremes on different Bible topics. And I know when you talk about Mary, people can get into extremes there too. You know, where she can be worshipped as God. We know that she is not God. Or sometimes because people have worshipped her as God, they'll go into another extreme and they'll resent her, you know, for being worshipped as God. But when you look at Mary and you look at her life, it's amazing to see the heart that she had. And when you see these things pronounced on her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you, blessed are you among women," the very first person to ever be troubled by that thought was Mary. When she, Mary, saw him, she was troubled, not at him, but at his saying. She wasn't troubled at his sight, she was troubled at his saying. She was troubled by what he said. And she considered what manner of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." She found out some pretty amazing things in that moment. She found out that she was highly favored. She found out that she was going to be a mom, all in this one big greeting. And the thing that I so love is we look at Mary. I actually did a message about Mary several years ago called Mary the Backstory. And I did it on Father's Day. Didn't even quite, just kind of happened, worked out that way. But as you look at Mary and you look at her life and at her backstory and you look at, you know, the kind of person she was really an amazing woman of God. You know, if you look at, if I was to say, we're gonna talk about the Apostle Paul today in his life, and go, oh yeah, Paul. We're gonna talk about Mary today. What a wonderful woman of God she was, as an example. You know, you can talk about Mary and look at her life and learn from her life just like you can any other man or woman of God's life, and it's not worship and it's not exaltation, it's just an honest evaluation of what the Scripture says. And this morning, I just believe that we are going to be blessed as we look at Mary, and simply what I'm calling this message is Mary and motherhood. We're going to look at Mary, who she was, her life, how she lived for God, and as it relates to her being mom, raising Jesus Christ, raising our Lord. That's a pretty powerful, profound responsibility. And yet we see that it wasn't an arbitrary thing. We see that she was highly favored, she was blessed among women, and that she had found favor with God. In other words, God saw her and God chose her. Another very profound thought. He didn't just choose anybody, he chose Mary. And as we, again, kind of look at her heart, look at her life, I think it's going to be something we're going to see about her that is going to bless us, inspire us in our own lives. And I just believe minister to moms here in a special way this morning as well, too. So, Mary and motherhood. Let's take a look at Mary and what it is about her that God saw that caused favor, you know, to be upon her. One of the big things about Mary was she believed God. She believed. You know, if you get into the Word of God and the New Testament especially, you find out it's all about believing. Believe, believe, believe. All things are possible to him who believes. Jesus said the work is to believe. He who believes in the Son of God will not perish but have everlasting life. Believe. Believing is a big thing to God. And Mary was a person who believed. And we see that, of course, by her response to the angel as the conversation continues. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" Fair question. Verse 35, the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. And then, kind of skipping down to verse 45, she goes and visits Elizabeth. And then Elizabeth, upon her greeting, you know, the babe leaps within her womb, and Elizabeth exclaims this. She says, "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." And again, just think about what it is that Mary believed, that as a virgin, she was going to bear a child. She has believed. And I love, too, you see Mary's heart here, too. At this time, she is engaged. She is an engaged woman to another man. There's a lot of things Mary could have been asking this angel about right here, about how it will look and what are people going to say and what are people going to think. And what did she say? She just said, "Let it be to me. Let it be to me according to your word. Let it be to me according to your word." There are things that get God's attention. There are things that bless God, our all-knowing God. We see that when Jesus was on the earth, there was an event that absolutely, it's like if there was ever a moment you could see Jesus taken back, it wasn't about the people trying to trap him in the questions. It wasn't about, you know, the persecution and things like that. There was a certain scenario where the centurion had a servant who was sick at home. And he came to Jesus for help. And Jesus said, no problem. I'll go with you and help. He said, no, Lord. He said, you just say the word. He said, I'm a man under authority. If I say something, these guys are going to do it. You just say the word and it will be done. And Jesus said, wow, I haven't found faith like this in all of Israel. There are things that just bless the heart of God. He didn't have a bunch of questions. He just said, I believe. I believe. Let it be. And Mary had that heart. Let it be according to your word. You say the word and it will be done. There's something. God understands our human condition. God understands histories and da-da-da-da and religious stuff. And when a person cuts through all that and just says, let it be according to your word, there's just something about that heart that blesses God. There's a trust there that blesses the heart of God. And I love what Mary said, how Mary responded, which she said, blessed is she who believed there will be a fulfillment. She was a mom, a soon-to-be mom, who had a faith in God. Before Jesus came on the scene, she loved God and she believed in God. In fact, after Mary said this in verse 45, this is what Elizabeth said in verse 45. This is how Mary responds in verse 46. She said, Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Do you see the context in which she says, all generations will call me blessed? She wasn't saying that they'll call me blessed because I am something so wonderful and deserving and high and lifted up. She said, he's regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. That's the contrast. That's why. You know, the Bible doesn't just talk about lowly states and maidservants. The Bible talks about prominent women who are powerful and influential. Mary's saying, I'm not a powerful woman who is prominent and influential. I'm a humble maid, and he's chosen me. Wow. I am blessed. It's a humble gratitude of what God has done. Generations are going to look back and see the testimony. Not was Jesus only born in a humble barn, but he was born to a humble maidservant. And you say, wow, she was blessed to be able to do that. Not because of her intrinsic amazingness of herself, but because of the state that she was brought from. That's why. And she realized that. And you can see that heart. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. Has your spirit ever rejoiced in God, your Savior, before? Do you know what that's like? Then you know what Mary was experiencing. She was rejoicing in God, her Savior. She had something. Before she ever had Jesus, she had a faith in God. She had a faith in it. Why is that powerful? Why is that precious when it comes to motherhood? Because a mom who has a strong faith in God is contagious in a good way. We see that the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy said, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. He says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and am persuaded is in you also. There's something about moms who have a faith in God, who believe, who have a way of getting that through to their children. I can look back, and my mom We'd go to church and we'd have Sunday school, and sometimes she would teach Sunday school, but we'd have our little prayers at night and sing our songs at night, just me and my brother and my mom. And, you know, she had such a strong influence of tradition in injecting God and faith in Jesus and keeping it before us, you know, and mom's doing that, and mom's walking the line, you know, of just wanting to influence and do what needs to be done. There's just something about a mom who has that faith in her. It comes out in parenting. It comes out in raising their children. And it's a beautiful thing. And you see that Mary, she was highly favored. She was chosen by God, but she had a faith in God that was in her. And a faith in God that was just going to continue to reinforce Jesus and reinforce in raising him and loving him. And so, moms, Mary had she believed God. And, you know, I just say this to encourage you. You know, we obviously can't control and force and make and manipulate and force anybody to believe. But what we can do is we can influence and we can speak the word of God and we can pray. And I don't know how many testimonies I've heard, you've heard of people who are where they are because they had a mom who prayed and stayed with them and loved them and supported them and just continued to impart their faith as the Holy Spirit led them and guide them. But that belief that was in them is precious to God because God knows that belief that's in a mom has a powerful influence as a mother and as raising children. There's a lot of different ways it comes out. But moms know that however it comes out, it's a blessing and it's good. And even though your children may not always show their hand as far as how it's affecting them, it's affecting them. It's blessing them. It's working on them. You may work on them and minister and just share as God shows you to share, and it may come out later on in life, but you keep doing what God shows you to do. Keep showing and ministering and sharing and shining your face. So Mary was a wonderful mom in the sense that she had something. Before she even ever had Jesus, she had a belief in God, her Savior. She loved him. She knew him. When you see this expression, it's an expression of somebody who has a real, genuine reverence and love and heart for God. And that's one of the most precious things a mom has and can give to her child. The next thing that she did that was significant about Mary that really blessed me as a mom is that Mary pondered God's word. I'm so glad the scripture stops to let us know this about her. It says, again, kind of continuing on with what we might call the Christmas story, it says, when they came with haste and found Mary, and this is the shepherds, okay? The shepherds are coming from the hillside. It says, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary is watching, she's listening, and she's pondering. She's a mom who's watching and listening and pondering. Now, pondering in the original Greek, sumbalo, it is literally to combine in speaking and mentally considering. Speaking means to converse, consult, dispute, and mentally to consider. By implication, to aid, to join. And so the pondering is an encountering that involves your thinking and your speaking and your talking and your thinking about what these things mean. But she kept those things and she pondered them in her heart. That's a powerful thing. Now, we kind of started off in the middle of the story a little bit. They came with haste. It was the shepherds. And it says in verse 18, then all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept these things. What's the subject of these things at this point? It's the things the shepherds told them. In other words, the shepherds experienced something and they relate it to Mary. Well, what was it the shepherds experienced? Here, we'll back up in the story a little bit. It says, then the angel said to them, the shepherds, the angel of God said to the shepherds, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The shepherds are proclaiming this as they're coming to visit Jesus in the manger. Mary's hearing this firsthand from the angels. And as she's hearing this stuff, she's logging it. She's pondering it. She's keeping track of stuff, supernatural things that God is communicating to her about her child. Pondering things. We know this, of course. We see that the angels had this account. As you continue on in this chapter, there's a few other accounts. You remember Simeon, the old man who lifted up Jesus when they were in the temple. They were bringing him into the temple for the circumcision and dedication. And Simeon lifted up Jesus, that little baby, and said, my eyes have seen your salvation. Praise God. And as soon as the prophetess Anna walked in the room where Jesus was, she began to worship God and glorify God and tell people about this child and the redemption of Israel. Mary was seeing these things. Joseph was seeing these things, supernatural signs, and pondering them. Why is that significant? Why is pondering those kind of things a big deal? It's a big deal. I remember a Bible school I went to at Rhema. Kenneth Hagin would say, you know, if you get some kind of a prophetic word from God, he said, God gives you those things to help you, to bless you, and to keep you steady. To keep you stable as you're going through things. Because a lot of times there may be some rough sledding ahead. There may be some rough times ahead. And when you've got those words and you keep them in your heart, it'll help keep you steady. It'll help keep you stable. And I would imagine, you know, there may have been some times. I don't know if it was maybe when, you know, Mary and Joseph lost track of Jesus for 3 days. Remember that? They were traveling back and all of a sudden they couldn't find Jesus. Lost him. And 3 days later they found him in the temple. They were probably thinking, okay, he is the Son of God. He will reign in the house of David forever and ever and ever. You know, encouraging themselves with those words that they had, that this is the Savior. God has got things in control here. But there were some things, some prophetic words that they had that they were able to hold on to. And this is something that I love. We see the Apostle Paul told Timothy. He said, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. Easy to read says, Timothy, you're like a son to me. What I'm telling you to do agrees with the prophecies that were told about you in the past. I want you to remember those prophecies and fight the good fight of faith. Good news says, Timothy, my child, I entrust to you this command, which is in accordance with the words of prophecy spoken in the past about you. Use those words as weapons in order to fight well. Mary pondered things in her heart. She remembered the things that were spoken over her child. She remembered those things, fighting a good fight of faith, waging a good warfare, not letting go of those things. She was a ponderer. She was a mom who pondered and remembered, no, the word of the Lord said this. This is what's going to happen. This is what's going to come out. Praise God. And the Apostle Paul, when you look at him, you know, he was telling Timothy about this. He was somebody who experienced that firsthand too. When he was on a missionary journey, they didn't quite know where to go. And all of a sudden, the Lord gave him a vision of a man saying, come to Macedonia. We need you over here. Preach to us. So they went to Macedonia, and they preached. And God used Paul to deliver a little girl who was being used by her master to tell fortunes and do different things like that. And once she was delivered from that spirit, she couldn't do that anymore. And the master, because he lost his financial gain, turned, you know, Paul in and began to speak against him and got Paul and Silas whipped and thrown in jail. And so there they are in jail and probably wondering, you know, boy, Lord, we're doing what you've told us to do. But they got thrown in jail, and it says they were fastened into the inner stocks of that jail. And you know, at that time, when you're doing what God told you to do, and it's like everything's going wrong, and everything is, you know, all hell is literally breaking loose, and they're there, and their backs are hurting, and it probably doesn't smell too good. But what happened there? And it's one of the classic stories we like to refer to. It says they began to praise God at midnight. They began to worship God at midnight. But you know what Paul could also do at midnight? He could remember the prophetic word that said, come over here and preach to us. Am I missing it? Am I wrong? No. God said, come to Macedonia, and here I am in Macedonia. I'm waging a good warfare. God has said it. It will come to pass. I'm right where I need to be. I'm fighting with prophetic words, and I'm using those words. I'm right where I'm supposed to be. And then begin to worship God. The power of God fell. The chains, the doors were opened up. The prisoners didn't go free. They told the jailer, hey, don't harm yourself. We're all here. We're not going to run away. And ended up getting the jailer and his whole household saved. But the Apostle Paul had a word from God to preach in Macedonia. And I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like on my back. I don't care how it smells. I don't care how it looks to people. I am where God wants me to be. And I'm doing what God wants me to do. And he began to worship God in the midnight hour. And that's the same way, too, with us. And you look at a Mary, you look at a ponderer, you look at a mom who's got a word, and this is what the word is on my son, the word is on my child. And when fear and depression try to come in on me, no, in Jesus' name, I've got the word of God on this. I've got the prophetic word of God. I'm keeping those things in my heart. I'm not turning loose of them. God has said it will come to pass. I believe. Let it be unto me, Lord, even according to your word, according to your word. We see a mom, we see a Mary, who is a ponderer, who held on to things. You know, she saw her son go through a lot of stuff. She saw her son go from town to town, and people paid to follow him from town to town to try to trap him in his words. A very hated man. You know, and as a mom, you're standing back and you're seeing things and you're remembering things. You're remembering that prophetic word. You're holding fast to things. God will tell us things. Things about our children. Things to hold on to. Things that will bless and inspire us to stay steady when things are getting tough. And finally, a wonderful thing about Mary is she loved Jesus. She just loved her child. Now, we talk about love. A lot of times we're talking about an unconditional love of our child, no matter what they do. Of course, Jesus was perfect. You know, he never missed it. So I'm not talking about in the sense that she loved Jesus despite, you know, anything here. But she loved Jesus completely. And there was an unconditional love that Mary had for Jesus in the sense that she was always there for him. She was always believing, always supporting him. And one of the beautiful pictures that I just think of Mary's love for Jesus was at the cross. Remember Peter, you know, he said, you know, when they were before Gethsemane, before they were at the Last Supper, Peter told Jesus, I'll lay down my life for you. And Jesus looked at Peter and he said, tonight before the cock crows, you're going to deny three times that you even know me. And of course, that's exactly what happened. Peter, the third time, was cursing, denying that he even knew who Jesus was to a little servant girl. And Jesus was right there, and he looked at him the third time he said that. Why? Peter was scared. He was afraid. But there was somebody who stayed. There was somebody who didn't make any big claims, but who stayed with Jesus and was right there at the cross. And that was Mary. It says, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. Took her to his own home. And so, what do we see here? We see Mary who's just staying with Jesus to the end. When I think of this kind of love, it's the kind of love that would not give up. She's just right there. Like we said, she had to endure a lot of junk that Jesus went through in his earthly ministry, but he was right there at the end, watching her son die, and with him, it was just a never give up, always hoping, always loving, always with him, always supporting. Just a powerful example. And of course, when she was at the temple, we talked about this guy, you know, Simeon, who said, "Behold, my eyes have seen my salvation." He also looked at Mary and said, "A sword will pierce your heart." He prophetically let her know there is coming a day when your heart is going to be broken over this child. So she knew that. She had that word in her heart too. She knew that there was going to come a point when something was going to happen. And she experienced it. But she was right there. She was right there. Right there to the end, right there supporting and loving and staying with her. Just think of that. Jesus had the presence of Mary right there with him. Now, he went to say, "Woman, behold your son." And then, and to the disciple, "Behold your mother." He took care of her from the cross. He oversaw her care in the natural, as far as John being able to take care of her and provide and have a place for her to be. That's a very special, beautiful. It's almost like, you know, it's like in a will. You know, you'd have somebody who's going to care for this person in a will. That was like Jesus' last will and testament in the sense of just the natural care of his mom. Of course, we know he's raised from the dead, but we see that he cared about her and loved her. And what a comfort, what a support. Here's another thing, too, about Mary. We see, not just at the cross, but after he was raised from the dead, it said in Acts chapter 1, "Now when he had spoken those things, while they watched, he was taken up in a cloud, received him out of their sight." So in other words, this is when Jesus ascends, okay? He ascends, has his parting words. It says, "While they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven.' Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." So we see something very powerful here. We see Jesus departing from them, and we see them coming together in an upper room to have prayer together. Now, as Jesus is ascending into heaven, it's kind of interesting to think about this. Pretty much everybody there is thinking they've got a 3.5-year history with Jesus. And they know who he is, and they know what he did. And they're amazed. And praise God, what a comforting word when those two angels, you know, said to them, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up in heaven? The same Jesus, you know, he's going to come in like manner." Thinking, wow, that's amazing. There goes Jesus. And he's going up into heaven. And someday he's going to come back, whenever that might be. Who knows? And that's kind of the way we look at it. And praise God, our Savior went up into heaven, and either he'll come back for us or we'll go up to be with him, one or the other. And we see Jesus as that Savior, and Mary saw him as Savior too. But Mary had not just been with him for 3.5 years. Mary had been with him for all 33.5 years. And for her, that was a child going up into heaven. And it was a child that she knew was in heaven. And it was a child that she knew she would see again. But she couldn't talk to Jesus anymore in the natural. Mary, when she saw that, must have experienced something else. Not only was she able to hold on to the very end, but she was also able to let go and let him do what God had called him to do, knowing that she was going to be reunited with him someday. She was able to not only let go, but she was also able, when you see this, she was able to go on. She went to that upper room, and she joined in that upper prayer room meeting. And on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit hit, and those tongues of fire came, and they began to speak in other languages, Mary was one of those 120 on the day of Pentecost, who was declaring the glorious works of God. She was going on. Why could she do that? Because you know what? She had something before she even ever had Jesus. She was rejoicing in God, her Savior, before she ever held him. She had a faith in God. She knew her God. As much as she loved her Jesus, who is God, please don't confuse anything here, but I want you to understand too, before she ever knew Jesus, she had something that caused her to be favored, something that blessed the heart of God. And she went on, knowing she's going to see Jesus again. Praise God. What an amazing example of a mom in different facets, in different ways. You're called to be there to the cross and to be loyal and faithful and then do whatever you can to your child and uphold them and uplift them. And at the same time, there's also a letting go and a freeing and committing to God and going on with what God has called and told you to do. So just wanted to look again this morning at just a few things about Mary and motherhood, kind of revisiting her life and just being encouraged by some of the things that we see about her in the Scripture. First of all, she believed God. She had something before she had Jesus. She had a belief in God, her Savior. Her soul was already rejoicing in God, her Savior. She knew she was blessed, not because she was something wonderful. You know, when the angel came to her and said, "You are highly favored among women, rejoice, da-da-da-da-da," she said, "Yeah, yep, that's me." What? No, she was troubled at his saying. She had a reverence for God and she needed more information. And she got that more information. Then she just said, "Let it be according to your word." She just believed God. And that blessed God. Nevertheless, at your word. She had a faith in God. And what is that so precious? That faith, just when it's in a mom, it comes out. And children know when mom has faith. And that blesses God, a mom who has a heart of faith, that blesses her children and blesses their grandchildren. It comes through, it comes out. Not only was Mary a believer, but she pondered God's word. She took those things that were said about Jesus and she wouldn't let them go. She would fight a good fight of faith with those things. God has said this about my child. I believe this. You have good plans for him, for a hope and a future. And this is what I'm standing on. This is what I'm standing with. I'm pondering. I'm keeping them. I am keeping them in my heart. I'm a ponderer. Mary was a ponderer. God knew he could tell Mary things and it wouldn't go in one ear out and bless her for 2 seconds and out the other ear. She would keep them and ponder and fight a good fight with those things. Those are precious. Precious. And hold on and help keep her steady. And she just loved Jesus. But that's just the quality of just sticking with somebody. And of course, again, I'm not saying that she had to put up with something from Jesus in the sense of sticking with him. But I'm saying in the sense of his call, she stuck with him through the thick and the thin. She had stuff, you know, that she stayed true and stayed loyal right up to the cross. You know, and again, not, you know, her loyalty to Jesus was just whatever he was going through. She would allow herself to go there and be there and support him and let him know that she loved him. What a blessing for Jesus to look down from the cross. All the disciples ran away except John and see John and his mom. Had to be very comforting to him. She was with him to the end. And when it was time to let him go, I mean, when he went up into heaven, that was a child of 33 and a half years that went up into heaven. Everybody else was 3 years and their Savior. But for her, it was the little boy she raised She knew where he was. She knew she'd see him again. And she was able to let him go. But it was different for her than anybody else that day. And she was in that upper room, and she went on. She went back because she had something before she ever had Jesus. She had a belief, and she had a relationship, and she had a sweet walk with God. Back to rejoicing with God, her Savior. Well, Heavenly Father, we just pray this morning. I just pray especially for moms here this morning who have the glorious task of raising kids in that sense of spiritual responsibility to want to get what's in their heart out and impart it into their children so that their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, like Timothy's legacy as a third-generation believer, that could continue to just propagate through the generations and to allow their faith to come out. Lord, I just pray for them. I just pray for peace, just for peace and grace and rest, to just know and have a sense of what to say and how to say it, that you're going to lead them, that you're going to guide them, that the pressure comes off them, and that they just do what you show them because they have something in them already. They have a rejoicing in God, their Savior, that's already in them, that's already shining, that's already speaking volumes, more than they can even know. So, Father, I just pray for these moms. Show them what they need to say. Show them how to encourage. Show them how to let them know, how to let their children know that they're loved by God and that He has wonderful things in store for them, Father. I just pray, bless them. Bless them. I just pray the pressure is off. And just the precious Holy Spirit minister grace and peace to each one now. Thank you, Lord. And I just pray, too, that, oh, you just call to remembrance precious words that have been spoken over their children. Words maybe that came prophetically, like Paul and Timothy, where there was a word spoken that would come back. Maybe it's just the word of God. Lord, words, maybe you've given them glimpses, like you gave Paul a vision. I pray, Father God, in those places where you've given moms a spiritual glimpse of their child. Maybe where they are now, maybe where they're going to be in the future, you've given them supernatural glimpses, and it may be a very intimate thing that only them and you know. I pray, Father, they would ponder that in their heart. And they would wage a good warfare, hold on to those words, and let it encourage them and steady them and strengthen them, Father God. Oh, just stir up those good words, Father, that will bless and refresh their hearts this morning as they ponder those words you've given them for their children. And we pray too, Lord, as they simply love their children, as they're just simply there for them. Like Mary couldn't do anything. She was just there at the cross. And I know sometimes there's a sense of helplessness. I want to do something. I can't. I'm there. Son, I love you. Daughter, I love you. I'm here. Just know I'm praying for you. Know I love you. Oh, Father, I pray, bless them as they are just being there. They may sense a sense of helplessness, but I pray they would sense a favor and a blessing from your Spirit today for simply just being there. Just being there. Just being there. And Father, for those situations where there is a letting go, maybe there's transition, maybe there's a going into a new season, that they have less direct, maybe less natural direct control or influence. They're just having to trust you. Like Mary just saw the ascension. There are some things she just trusted you. I just pray, Father God, that in those places where there's transition, oh, that grace to trust you and just know, Father God, that they are going into your hands, you commit those precious children, knowing that you are in places where they can't be, that even though they may be leaving you for a season, they're not leaving God. They're not leaving the Holy Spirit, and they're trusting you on a new level with their child, but that you're there, that you're for them, that you're with them, Father God, and that they can go on, because before they ever had the precious child that they love, they had you. You were there. You were there before the child. You're during the child. And regardless of whatever level of influence, you're there now, Father God, that their soul can still rejoice in God, their Savior, that they love you most of all, Father. We thank you. We thank you for that love, for that precious love of a mom. And we just pray these things over our moms here today, Father God. Just help them and grace them in these different areas. Thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.